debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
My old buddy Dean Obadala, my colleague on Sirius XM Radio on this very channel, the Progress Channel, whose show is every night
6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, but I'm moving to noon. No, I'm kidding.
As my heart comes out of my mouth.
Right. No, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Eastern Time, and it replays different time. Of course, it's on demand. That's when I'm there live.
Cool. Okay. And Dean, you are a lawyer, and I remember when Congress passed the COVID-19 Consumer Protection Act. That was back in December of last year. And there was a couple of actions that they took against somebody who was peddling hydroxychloroquine or something like that. They have gone after some online hustlers around COVID-19, but you're taking this a whole big step forward. So first of all, if I got any of that wrong, correct me and then tell us what you're up to.
What we're seeing is, and everyone has watched this happen, Fox News has made a business decision because they're a for-profit business. So they made a choice to sell misinformation to their viewers about the COVID vaccine. And we all know that, but Media Matters on Friday came out with a great report quantifying it. Between June 28th and July 11th, nearly 60% of their segments were designed to convince people not to get the vaccine. It ranged from literally Jeanine Pirro saying, they're coming to your door to find out if you're taking the vaccine, but then they're going to take your guns. Like literally saying that, to it's about your freedom, to trying to heighten fears about the vaccine or saying it was unnecessary, like Laura Ingraham's touting natural immunity and the like. So it made me say, what more can I do than just write about this and talk about it on the show? So I did some research, and I researched the COVID-19 Consumer Protection Act, which is under the auspices of the Federal Trade Commission, and I really believe, as a lawyer, I had a good faith basis to file a complaint against them, which I'm going to encourage everyone else to file as well. It takes you 3 or 4 minutes, because the COVID-19 Consumer Protection Act says that it is illegal to engage in, quote, deceptive act or practices in or affecting commerce associated with the treatment, cure, prevention, mitigation, or diagnosis of COVID-19. And the reason Fox News is engaged in commerce is that they sell a product. They sell information. And they sell it to people who pay for it because you subscribe to cable news. That's how you get it. It's not free. So this is a consumer transaction. And to me, I really believe it fits within the spirit of this law, which is to protect consumers from people trying to profit off lying about the vaccine, about COVID, about the risk, peddling products that don't work. So I filed a complaint, and my hope is they open an investigation.
So, Dean, I looked at your complaint. You know, I saw the article. I followed a Twitter link of yours. And if you don't follow Dean on Twitter, you should do it. It's Dean Obadala Twitter, and a website is deanofradio.com. You can check that out. I was uncomfortable simply copying and pasting your language. Is that something you would encourage or would you discourage?
No, you can, because it's everything I wrote. And if people have been emailing me, dean@deanofradio.com, dean@deanofradio.com. And I'll send you the template that which has the link where you can fill it out.
Cool.
The boxes you check right away. And there's the comment section. You can put your own language there. You can copy what I'll send you, parts of it, none of it, edit it around, change it around. But everything I write is based on facts. I mean, you know, Rudy Giuliani getting disbarred, at least temporarily suspended, is a wake-up call for lawyers, and that you can't make up facts. I'm using the real facts. I'm arguing to expand the law to include TV. It's up to the FTC if they want to do an investigation. I hope their new chair, Lina Khan, will take this seriously if enough people file an investigation. It's not going to shut Fox News down. It's not silencing Fox News. It's simply to stop deceptive information on the vaccine. They're going to lie about everything else. That's what they do. So be it. This is politics. We'll fight it out.
So,
we're not about health misleading people.
So, my attorney friend, please, please give me the details here. The COVID-19 Consumer Protection Act, does it require that if any of us choose to respond to that law, that we have to go through the Federal Trade Commission? Or does it also empower, let's say, for example, that somebody in my family, thankfully this has not happened in my family, but right. Somebody in my family was a COVID denier or whatever, got sick and died, or got sick and ended up with a $400,000 medical bill. Could they sue, or could I sue on their behalf, anybody who was pitching COVID disinformation? Or, I mean, does this law provide for class action lawsuits? Does it establish any kind of a baseline or threshold or system or whatever for going after not just Fox News, but anybody else who's pitching this, and including politicians, although I realize that they have a lot of First Amendment protections? How expansive is it? What are the parameters of how people can be fighting back using the law?
What you're doing is trying to get the FTC to do an investigation, to launch it first. Their powers are broad. They can get an injunction, which they did against someone who was marketing a false product to cure COVID. They can get civil penalties. If someone doesn't comply with the penalties or the injunction, they could imprison people. They're not going to act as your lawyer. If you have a personal wrong, if your family suffered a loss because of lies from Fox News, you'd have to talk to a private attorney. As a lawyer, I'll say it's a hard case to make, that one. This is different. This is protecting consumers in general. Their consumers are their viewers. They pay for the information by subscribing to cable news. And doctors, as I cite in my article, have said, their patients said, I won't get a vaccine because Fox News told me it's not safe. So you have this causation. So I think at the very least, the FTC should do an investigation. It does not create a private cause of action for me to sue Fox News or others who lie about this. Mm-hmm. If you're selling a product, if it's for profit, if it's in commerce, then it's within the scope of the FTC mandate under this new expanded protection, which is only in effect during the emergency, which is still going on right now. We have an uptick in people getting sick, hospitalized, and dying. And literally last night, Tucker Carlson on his show ran a segment talking about how many people have died from the vaccine, not from the disease, but from the vaccine, again, intending there to scare people. There's no counterbalance. This is night after night, they're doing it. And every now and then they say one positive thing and people applaud them. It's a business decision coming up from high at Fox News. It has to be.
Yeah, it's got to come out of the Murdoch family. Do you know of anybody who's organizing things like class action lawsuits, or is that just out in outer space here?
There were some lawsuits early on against Fox for telling people don't take the vaccines, not the vaccine, the disease seriously. Mm. Some of them are thrown out of court. That's a hard case to make when someone's on TV saying things like that. To me, because we have this new law that just went into effect, it's protect consumers from false information surrounding the vaccine or the disease from people who are trying to profit from it.
Yeah.
It fits within the mandate of why I file this complaint. Again, I hope people, if you want to email me, dean@deanofradio.com, I'll send you my one-page template. You can copy what you want, use what you want. If enough of us file, I hope it simply triggers an investigation that gets more press, and maybe it causes Fox News to say the lives of our viewers are more important than a little bit more profit.
Yeah, amen. Or that this might hurt our profits. Deanofradio.com is the website. Dean Obadalla on Twitter. And, of course, every night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127, the great Dean Obadalla. Dean, thanks for dropping by. It's great talking to you.
Nice show you, Tom.
Always nice talking with you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Do you have friends or family who you think have been harmed by vaccine misinformation? what have you succeeded in doing anything about it? There is some really shocking news. I find this really fascinating. Steve Scalise, the Republican from Louisiana, who once said that he was David Duke without the baggage, he is now the either number two or number three. I think I might have changed with Liz Cheney getting kicked out. I believe he's number two now in the Republican power structure in the U.S. House of Representatives. He got his vaccine on Sunday. Publicly, he invited photographers, the news media come in, hey, see me get vaccinated. Why? What's going on? John Aravosis is, I saw this tweet this morning. I thought, you know, yeah, I'm wondering the same thing. He says, for everyone saying that Republicans are not now freaking out because of the about COVID because it's killing their base, they knew it was killing their base a year ago. They didn't care. Something has happened in the last week that has scared the hell out of the Republican Party, and I want to know what it is, tweets John Aravosis. Now, you'll recall, I believe it was on Monday, my op-ed for the day over at HartmanReport.com was, or perhaps it was last Friday, was that death is an electoral strategy. The GOP is literally using death and disease as an electoral strategy to try to crash the economy and blame that on Joe Biden and say that he's bungled the handling of the COVID crisis and the pandemic and all this kind of stuff. And in fact, it looked like it was starting to work. You'll recall, you know, the Dow dropped 700 points on Monday. I've been saying this, by the way, since last May or June, you know, when it became obvious that a year ago, May and June, when it became obvious that the Trump administration and right-wing media had shifted. Prior to April 7th, you know, from January 20th to April 7th of 2020, of a year ago, right-wing media and the Republican Party were saying, hey, we should be concerned about this this new brand new virus, this COVID, this SARS-CoV-19 thing. And they were going to mail 5 masks to everybody in America. They had the post office all set up to do it. They had the orders in. They were all ready to go. They had shut down the economy in the second week of March of 2020, of a year ago. And then on April 7th, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them, right across the board, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, all of them, their headline, their front page headline that day, and the main story, public broadcasting, was new study shows COVID kills more black people than white people. Disproportionate deaths among communities of color, African Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans in particular. And the whole right wing just did a what? And during that following 2-week period, and I've documented this in several of the pieces that I've written over at HartmanReport.com. It's fairly easy to find, and other places as well. And I've talked about this at length on this program. Rush Limbaugh came out and said, oh, there's a racial factor here. And suddenly he was now saying, oh, it's maybe this COVID is not such a big deal. The White House canceled the masks they were going to send to people. I mean, so letting people die as part of their strategy for dealing with the pandemic really goes back to April of last year for the Republican Party. The Republican Party and Fox so-called News and Tucker Carlson and all these guys have been just pounding on don't get vaccinated. You know, it'll mutate your DNA, or it'll make you magnetic, or it'll cause you to shed spike proteins, and all these weird, bizarre conspiracy fantasies that they're promoting to cause people to be reluctant to get vaccinated. And something has happened in the last week. And now you're starting to hear Republicans say, you know, you really need to get vaccinated. Sean Hannity, a couple days ago on Fox News, completely changed his tune. This morning, Chuck Grassley tweeted out, the Republican senator from the senior senator from Iowa. I've said this to several Iowa reporters again this week, but I'll amplify it here on Twitter. I encourage all, and he puts all in all caps, all eligible Iowans/Americans to get vaccinated. The Delta variant scares me, so I hope those who haven't been vaccinated will reconsider. Is it just that simple? that the Delta variant is now, you know, is now just like so contagious that it's sweeping across red state America. And now it's becoming obvious now that they're, you know, CNN is doing comparisons. Here's a map of counties that Donald Trump won. And here's a map, you know, with all the counties that Donald Trump won in red. And here's a map of all the counties in the United States where the Delta variant is really starting to burn through and fill up hospitals. And they're in red. And gee, when you compare these two maps, they're identical. Is that it? Are Republicans finally realizing that their strategy of trying to crash the economy and blame it on Biden by letting people get sick and die is backfiring on them because it's become so obvious that that's what they're up to? Or is it that some of these Republicans actually believe their own BS? I mean, Steve Scalise didn't get vaccinated until 4 or 5 days ago. He's had access to this information for a year. Earlier today, one of these Republican members of Congress was, you know, who's a physician, in fact, was complaining on, I believe it was on Fox, it might have been one of the other networks, was saying, well, why doesn't the news media ever ask the Democrats if they're vaccinated? Why do they only ask Republicans? See, half of the Republicans in Congress refuse to say if they're vaccinated, and only appears that only about 44% of them are vaccinated. But fully half of them refused to even say as of a week or so ago. So this guy is coming out and saying, well, why don't they ask the Democrats? Well, they did. In May of this year, that's 2 months ago, the Democratic caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives announced that 100% of their members were vaccinated. And every single Democrat in the Senate was vaccinated. And it looks like Republicans are just now figuring this out. Oh, this death and disease that is striking across America, we created it, and it's entirely partisan, and we're going to get blamed for it. We thought we could crash the economy and blame it on Joe Biden. Is this now this sudden, oh my God, let's all get vaccinated? Fox now has a vaccine passport. If you're going to work at Fox, you got to show your vaccine passport to get into the building, apparently. They call it the Fox Clear Pass. Is the reason that the Republican Party and Republicans and right-wing media are all of a sudden saying, hey, maybe it's time to get vaccinated, not across the board, but many of them, is the reason that the stock market went down on Monday, but it came back up on Tuesday and Wednesday? It's back up above where it was before it crashed on Monday now. So is it that they're looking at this strategy of let's have death and destruction to crash the stock market so that we can blame it on Joe Biden and then we get reelected next year? Is it that that strategy just blew up in their face? And so now they're saying, oh, well, I guess, forget what we said. We didn't really mean it. We were just joking. And why aren't Democrats saying if they're vaccinated? Is that it? Or am I missing something here? Is there something else going on that I'm completely missing? It appears to me that there's this massive recalibration going on for the Republicans to try to get ready for the election. What do you think?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Marge in Galveston, Texas. Hey, Marge, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. This is regarding why some of the Republicans suddenly have started to do a 180 on their vaccine policy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is all about Darwin's natural selection theory, the process whereby organisms better adapted to their environment tend to survive and produce more offspring. I think these Republicans suddenly have realized that the theory is true, that the nature is selecting Democrat voters over Republican voters in a dramatic way. So I basically agree with you and with one of your callers, who was talking about numbers, how many Republicans would die versus Democrat voters.
The guy who said that you can't win if you're, he said it so elegantly, and I forget the exact phrase, but you can't, that's right, you can't win elections if you don't have voters. Thank you, Sean. Marge, I think there's a lot to that. It may well be the case that they've figured out that, you know, trying to use this as a political wedge issue, essentially, has just failed. And so now it's plan B time. That's fascinating. Thank you, Marge. David in Los Angeles. Hey, David, what's up?
This is the purpose of propaganda, and that is, it is weaponized information.
Yes.
That has deadly consequences.
Yes.
Now, they do engage in a blood sport, such as their politics, which ties into the propaganda, that has a death component to it that translate into the policies that kill people.
Yep.
You know, and the last time we spoke, Tom, I think I was sharing with you that it appears to me as though white people, and America in particular, begrudge black people having health care. And how sick, how deadly is that?
Oh, that's right? Racism has been at the foundation. It has been the principal pillar of Republican, well, conservative, because it was the Democrats pre-1965, opposition to a national health care program. It was pure racism that prevented Harry Truman from getting a single payer program, or Franklin Roosevelt, or Jack Kennedy. Yeah, absolutely, David, absolutely. And I chronicle it in my new book on health care, on American health care. Carol in Seattle. Hey, Carol, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Yes, I'm thinking the GOP is realizing that their states are dying. Like, now it's affecting them, you know,
mm-hmm.
like the same thing that happened last year, that you noticed that pattern, you know. But it was the white people in the red state now.
Right.
And also, they can't afford to lose anybody in the House and Senate, or probably anywhere. So there's a little, I don't know which one is which, but they can't afford to lose anyone, really.
I think, no, so, you know, it's like the really simple explanation might just be that the Republican Party has figured out, or the polling is telling them, that getting vaccinated and protecting America is a politically winning strategy as opposed to being the contrarians.
Yeah, and they've been also part of they believe the lie, too. You know, the lies about reaching herd immunity and how that doesn't work with this virus. And, you know, there's a lot that they're probably now just realizing, oh, yeah, we're going to get blamed for this. You know, maybe that's it. I don't know. There's a lot there.
I think so. I think that's a big piece of it. I think that's a big piece of it. Carol, thank you. Thanks for participating in the conversation. It's great to hear from you. James, you want to try it again in Spokane?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's
totally
okay.
On me.
What's up?
Look, talking about trust in government or anything of that nature, or quality of government and the right thing in government,
mm-hmm.
there's been nothing eroded to that than the war on drugs. Nothing's been more detrimental to that. It's been going on for 100 years. The Harrison Narcotics Act, I just noticed this, went into effect in 1914, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Harry Anslinger was doing his work in the late teens and the early 20s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly
the Reefer Madness
right. Nobody even mentioned it's been over 100 years now. Let me give you some factors, some facts, statistics that went on during the Volstead Act, you know, the Prohibition Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
During the 11 years from, during the first 11 years, they hired 18,000 people. They had to terminate 12,000 of them because of quote unquote without prejudice. And another 1,600 are dismissed for bribery, extortion, theft, falsification of records, conspiracy, forgery, and perjury.
Yeah, you're talking about people who were hired to go out and break down or arrest people running stills or selling illegal liquor. And it just didn't work because pretty much everybody wanted to have a drink, it seems.
Yes, and corruption in the government bureaus related to that.
Yeah.
And people turning a blind eye and people getting sweetheart deals and being bribed. And again, it's been going on for over 100 years, Tom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, trust in government? Come on.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I think that the Biden administration proposing to decriminalize marijuana legally or, you know, nationwide, change the laws is a good step. I mean,
that would be a nice step.
And what we did here in Oregon, I mean, we've decriminalized possession of small amounts of all drugs now in Oregon.
Amen.
It's a traffic ticket if you're busted with a little bit of, I mean, fill in the blanks. I'm talking serious, you know, like LSD or heroin or something. Which I think are in completely different separate categories.
Petty crime should go down.
There you go. James, thank you for the call. I completely agree. Rich in Cedro Woolley, that's Washington State, right, Rich?
Yes, it is, sir.
Hey, what's up?
So a lot has been said today about greed being the motivator for the Republicans to change their tune. Well, I'd say even Hannity can understand, you know, COVID up, stock market down has a bad effect on his stock portfolio. But you think about the corporations that have invested heavily in anti-union, low-tax, redneck, anti-vax states, say like PACCAR or Boeing, who have manufacturing facilities there, or Amazon, who are looking at the decimation of their workforce. You know, this and affecting their profits, they can read a bottom line too. So I think
so. This goes back to the theory that that some big fat cat Republican donors, some of the morbidly rich Republican donors who shower money on Republican candidates, are financially getting hurt by this fourth wave of COVID, and they're calling up their Republican donees, their wholly owned little subsidiaries, and saying, "Hey, get with the program here."
Yeah, so people are overthinking this. It's simple greed. It's dirty money.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
I could change gears. You're talking about supply, or not supply chain, but economic displacement.
Mm-hmm. From climate
global
change.
Warming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I work in the supply chain, and just looking at the effects of our little cold snap down in Texas there. First, it started, the lumber supply got short. You know, now we're paying $75 a sheet if you or I want to go down to...
It's because so many homes down in Texas are being rebuilt.
Right, but you can see the sequence. It was structural. It was lumber went up.
Mm-hmm.
And then drywall was in short supply.
Right.
People were complaining about that. Hardware all the way through it. And now it's... paint and your built-in appliances like your furnaces, your air conditioners, your water heaters. People are complaining about short supply of this. So it's just like watching the process of people rebuilding their homes in Texas.
Right.
It's happening right in front of my face. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely makes perfect sense, Rich. Boy, a lot to talk about today, huh? Kelly in Los Gatos, California. Hey, Kelly, what's up?
Hey, Tom. You know, I work for a living, and the more service I provide, the more I make. But the insurance company's business model is the less service they provide, the more they make.
You're right.
And that's the scam right there. And we've saddled our healthcare system with this scam.
Yeah.
I don't know how more plainly I can put it.
Yeah, economists call it a perverse incentive. We have set up a system where if healthcare companies want to show quarterly billion-dollar profits, they have to do so by refusing to cover the health expenses of the people who sign up with them. And it's like, why have we chose this as our national system? Well, a large part of it, as I was talking with a caller just a minute ago, David, is racism. This is When I started researching this new book, The Hidden History of American Healthcare, Why Sickness Bankrupts You and Makes Other People Insanely Rich, I was astonished to discover that the reason why, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt, right? A Republican Roosevelt talked about a single-payer healthcare system. Franklin Roosevelt talked about a single-payer healthcare system. Harry Truman actually proposed a single-payer healthcare system. Jack Kennedy pitched for a single-payer healthcare system. Lyndon Johnson tried to establish Medicare and Medicaid in a way that could cover every American, you know, within a decade. Jimmy Carter wanted to expand a healthcare system. Bill Clinton kind of got mixed up, and you know, he ended up not going for a single payer healthcare system, but going for one that involved the health insurance companies, as did Barack Obama. But right across the board, every single one of these efforts that have been made by basically progressives. I mean, you know, Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican. But every single one of these efforts that have been made by progressives to bring healthcare to the United States has been opposed by white politicians saying that they don't want the black people in their states or their districts to have access to healthcare. And in fact, throughout the late 1800s and the early 20th century, the early 1900s, you had this guy, Frederick Hoffman, literally running around the country. He was a vice president with a Prudential company. As spouting this race extinction theory that African Americans were genetically inferior, and therefore, if we just didn't give them health care, they would all die out. And that would, quote, solve the race problem in America. That's what Hoffman was selling. He wrote a book about it called Race Traits of the American Negro. He had booklets on it. He gave speeches on it. His health insurance company was promoting this, the Prudential. I mean, it's just, the history is just mind-boggling, Kelly, when you get into it.
It's become a pathway to oligarchy also.
It has. It absolutely has. And well, you know, like the former CEO of United Health, who, you know, Dollar Bill McGuire, who took $1.6 billion, had to give back a couple hundred million dollars when the Securities and Exchange Commission came after him and said, oh, no, you can't do that. That's illegal. Alejandro in Miami. Hey, Alejandro, what's up?
I just wanted to talk about the whole 180, the change of, you know, the reversal in the Republican and conservative or proposition against vaccines. I just, like, this is what I was wondering ever since, you know, I know you've been saying this for a while, that about obviously the Republicans are against, you know, the vaccine being widespread because, you know, they want to hurt Joe Biden and the economy and all that stuff. But then my counter to that has always been, but wait a minute, the virus doesn't care who is infected. It affects everyone. It's not like, you know, it's almost like the reverse eugenics. White people don't have a superior immune system to anyone else. So they're going to get hit no matter what. And of course, you have my governor, like in Florida, Ron DeSantis, freaking out because we're the epicenter of the pandemic now with 1 out of 5 cases occurring in Florida alone.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I think he's freaking out.
Yeah. 1 out of 5 new cases in Florida. That's breathtaking. Alejandro, always nice to hear from you. Thank you for the call. Chaz in Lakewood, Washington. Hey, Chaz, what's up?
Buenos dias, mi amigo.
Hey, how are you?
Well, Tom, I think we're about a week or two away from a red state die-off, and the RNC has got deep pockets. They know that this is coming down the road, and they don't want to be plastered by their constituency as liars, as, holy cow, wait a second, these people we trusted, these people, can you explain this to me? Who the heck is donating to a millionaire for a presidential campaign that's going to go nowhere? Back to the topic. look, Fox News is meeting with the White House, and Dean's got a suit against them. They're starting to see the handwriting on the wall, and I don't suppose that Newsmax and OANN is going to see it pretty soon, where it's like, you know, we don't want to be lambasted as the people who led, thousands of Americans down the path. And you know what? Let's go one step beyond that. Let's say that they don't die. Now they've got long haul syndrome, and a lot of them are going, you know what would really be handy about now is universal health care.
Yeah, the more people who get sick, the more medical expenses, the more pressure there is for Medicare for All. That's an interesting take. Whew. Susie watching Free Speech TV in Palestine or Palatine, Texas?
Palestine.
Palestine, okay. Hey, Susie, what's
yes,
up?
Sir.
I just wanted to give my viewpoint on what you're saying about some of the GOP stating you should get vaccinated now. My opinion is that they're scared. Sean Hannity, Fox News, GOP members, they're worried that they're going to get sued or whatever. And so now they feel they've given this enough time, you know, to make it look like the economy's failing and all this. So now they're going to change course and say people get vaccinated. So their base, you know, who's kind of dying off, will get vaccinated. And then they can take credit when the economy starts to bounce back again. Well, we told people. So now we can take credit for everything turning around instead of the Biden administration.
Well, that's a great...
That's my take.
I think that, you know, number one, it might be that they're afraid of being sued. And that had not occurred to me, but that makes perfect sense, you know, particularly the guys in the media, but also some of the politicians. And number two, if you're right, and you know, this whole strategy is shifting, we will know if later in the week, I mean, this sometimes these things, the political messaging takes a week or two to kind of evolve. But I think the tell will be, Susie, if they start using the phrase the Trump vaccine, if they start crediting Donald Trump for the vaccine, if they try to start talking like, hey, the Republican Party brought you this vaccine, you should be thanking us, not the Democrats.
Yeah.
If they start messaging that, then we know.
That's true. And then please let our congressmen know they need to hunker down on it and accuse them of what they said before and that they can't take credit for it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Operation Warp Speed actually had nothing to do with the development of the Pfizer vaccine. It apparently helped to develop the Moderna vaccine. But
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I just want to say I appreciate you getting the message out there and your rants and all the books and that you promote, because I've gotten a real education reading a lot of the books that you recommended and the people that you have on.
Well, thank
you,
Susie.
And I've told anybody that I know to check into your show and everybody else on Free Speech.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure Free Speech TV appreciates that. This is the most important way, the most effective way, I think, over the short term, that we can get the word out about progressive media is word of mouth, is having people like you tell your friends.
Absolutely. And please give out more information on how just grassroots community organizations and different things. Mm-hmm. My daughter has been interested in trying to figure out what can she do. And I think you had somebody on, I don't know if it was a congressman, that mentioned precinct committeemen.
Yes.
Or how people can get involved. And if you don't have that up on your homework page or wherever on your report, I would love to see that.
I'd put at the top of my list, the two things at the top of my list. Number one, join an organization, and probably one of the most effective ones out there right now is indivisible.org or progressive or pdamerica.org, Progressive Democrats of America. And number two, show up and volunteer with your Democratic Party and see if you can become a precinct committee person. Susie, brilliant.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call. Great to hear from you.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye-bye.
It.
Thank you. So why do you think that the Republicans are suddenly getting religion about vaccine? Is it that they realize that their strategy just isn't going to work? That the market, I mean, you know, on Monday, when the market went down 700 points, I believe it was Pat Buchanan, but it was one of the you know, your classic right-wing trolls was out there saying, oh, yep, Biden isn't doing a good job with the pandemic. Look at this. You know, crowing. I mean, this was what they planned. But then on Tuesday, the market just said, hey, you know, we're still here. Most of the country is now, you know, has at least one vaccine. Most of, you know, 70% of the country has at least one shot. So, you know, a lot of people are just saying this is a crisis among unvaccinated people. And I'm not unvaccinated, so I'm going on with life as normal. Or is it something else? Is it that suddenly they got afraid of being sued by families who had lost somebody? What could it be? And of course, you know,
this healthcare crisis in the United States is just breathtaking. You know, we're paying 24% of payrolls now for healthcare. If we went to Medicare for all, it would be between 10 and 14%. It would start out at 14%, and then over about 5 years, it would go down to 10% as uninsured people catch up on their medical needs. So it's all pretty straightforward and pretty amazing. So anyhow, Steve in Bridgeport, Vermont. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I actually heard this from your guest in the next hour. The COVID consumer protection law, which Trump signed into law in December of last year, makes you liable for misinformation concerning the virus.
Oh, really? Is that you heard that from Dean Obadala?
I heard that from Dean.
I did not know that. I have a vague recollection of that, but I did not. So you think that these people are concerned about legal liability?
I think that they're really worried about a class action lawsuit about misinformation, and I think that's why Fox News was had spoken to the White House in the last couple of weeks. Also, I think they were told that this is what you're opening yourself up for. And I think that's why the tune changed.
I wonder if, because this all, I mean, this has all happened within a week. It's like, and it's just a screeching U-turn after a year and a half. And I wonder if the Department of Justice just, you know, created a task force to look into prosecuting people under that law, or if some other, you know, some other federal agency just took some action that makes, you know, the menace of that even more visible to these people. That's fascinating.
Well, it's the epitome of screaming fire in a crowded theater when you're telling people don't get vaccinated and the virus isn't real.
Excellent point. Thank you very much, Steve. That's a good one. In fact, when Dean comes on, I'll ask him about it. Pam, in San Antonio, Texas, or is it Pam?
It's a pan, like a frying pan.
Yeah. Okay. Or like the like Pan, the god. So what's up, Pan?
Or Panama. Sorry. I don't know. This whole thing with Republicans and vaccines is just a confusing mess for me, like the entire story and their relationship with it. And I'm talking about like the far right community mostly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, weren't these the guys that wanted to, you know, not even have to wear masks in the first place? And now Sean Hannity is urging people to get vaccinated. I don't know. It feels like a lot of the time when at the start when the vaccine came, that, you know, why the far right didn't want to take the vaccine was simply out of fear. And it's funny that it's now out of fear again, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just had another, just a thought popped into my head here, Pan. That doesn't really make that much sense. It's just that they're suddenly realizing that their strategy isn't working. You know, I mean, I guess I said this before with the stock market, but I'm thinking, you know, more broadly with just disease in general, that, you know, they were saying, you know, a year ago, don't wear masks. And now they're saying, don't get vaccinated. And they were expecting that the Biden administration was going to respond to the increase in the Delta variant by imposing mask mandates. And in fact, there's an article in the Washington Post today saying that they're actually having conversations about mask mandates at the White House. And so what they were thinking was, the Delta variant starts going crazy. The White House steps in, imposes mask mandates or a vaccine passport, you know, to do something about it. And that will give us and our right wing buddies something to protest. We will be out in the streets. You know, how dare you do this to us? You are, you know, goose stepping Nazi thugs coming door to door to take away, you know, to give us our masks and probably take away our guns and Bibles. But instead, what the Biden administration did was say, OK, cool. You know, if you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you know, you're stupid, but that's fine. We can't force it on you. We're not going to force it on you. And so their whole strategy just failed. Diamond in Hollywood. Hey, Diamond, what's up?
I I basically think that it is too late for the Republicans to get any satisfaction out of all of a sudden saying, you know, go ahead and get vaccinated and right. and everything. For 2 years, we've heard them say, oh, it's not a problem. So now it's a problem. And now the Delta is so much more contagious that I think it's really a matter of them wanting to hang on to the people that they have, their base. And what I've been hearing from people who are hesitant about vaccinating is the mainstream media has been broadcasting all these breakthrough cases of sports figures and
They're infected, but they're not sick. You know, it's they're not even getting symptoms, but they get caught in routine tests. And go ahead.
But what I'm hearing from that from the anti-vaxxers and the people who are hesitant, which is that why get vaccinated? Because you know, even people who get vaccinated get
get COVID.
The virus.
Yeah, but when they get it, it's not even a sore throat. I mean, you know, it's it's like literally 99.5% of the deaths in the last month nationwide have been from people who are unvaccinated. It's just it's very widespread. So what you're saying, Diamond, is you think that even if the Republican Party starts talking about the Trump vaccines and starts trying to take credit for this and starts pushing vaccines aggressively, that you know, the cake is baked. It's way too late. They, you know, their brand is the anti-vax brand now, and it's not
going to
work.
I don't think that strategy is going to work. Yeah. That, you know, I think the Democrats have to push back and say, you know, like over here for our recall election, the governor needs to realize that he's never going to win Republican votes. He has to get more progressive and not try to court the Republicans.
Diamond, I got to run. Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Boy, lots of interesting theories here. Is it too late for the Republicans to salvage their brand? Are they going to be forever branded as the people who let 500,000 Americans die? Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Lou in Pueblo, Colorado. Hey, Lou, what's on your mind?
Just as a side note, I got Dean's email and filed my own complaint, and it's very easy. It takes a couple of minutes. What I would say is you take his email and modify what he says. He uses a lot of lawyer speak. I'm an engineer. You know, just modify the words, but very easy to file, so there's at least two complaints against Fox. But what I was calling on, I think the what we're seeing with the Fox News and these others is manifestation. I don't think there's one cause for anything. It's always shades of gray. But I think we know the Republicans look ahead and plan better than the Democrats. I think they're anticipating a Vietnam effect. If you remember, Vietnam was pretty well ignored until everyone knew someone who had been killed. And what there's,
which was probably around 67 was when that tipping point got hit.
Yeah, when they went from like to a 500,000 soldiers or something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But the same thing here. Now they're going to have deaths in every Republican voting household, and that's going to dramatically change.
Yeah. Lou?
Yeah. Lou?
I just lost you. In fact, it just got weird. But Lou, I think you're absolutely right. May well be the case. Susan in Decatur, Georgia. Hey, Susan, your thoughts?
Hey, Tom. I think that the Republicans are trying to save face. They know that we've crossed the Rubicon on coronavirus with the Delta variant because now kids are getting infected and dying. One just died in Georgia, 5 years old, that was in perfect health.
In Marjorie Taylor Greene's district, and she just tweeted, yes, don't mask children, and a parent or a grandparent just tweeted back at her, wait a minute, a five-year-old in your district just died. I just retweeted that tweet of that person calling out Marjorie Taylor Greene for that. Forgive the interruption, Susan, continue.
But I really think that they've crossed the Rubicon. They're just trying to save face, because if you add up everything that a couple of your callers have said, yes, it's racist. We all know that, you know, from the April 7th letter.
Right.
But they're still pushing that kind of Steve Bannon, like, traditionalism stuff, right, where let's thin out the herd to the rich white people, right?
Right.
Because guess what Atlanta just had? It is covered up in Delta. We were the first state to have Delta variant. We're covered in Delta variant. We just had a concert called the Birthday Bash in Atlanta with 21,000 unmasked people at State Farm Arena Saturday, and they're having another one next Saturday just as big.
Oh, no.
Caribbean Fest.
Wow.
So it's
get
all
ready for an explosion.
Black people. Yes, we are going to explode, and these people are my neighbors. My neighbor went to this concert.
These concerts were for mostly
children.
Black people? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Both concerts. I tagged you on Facebook with the link to the concerts.
Right. I'll have to check that out.
And how big the pictures and the videos and stuff. I sent that to you.
Thank you.
But for all the people in Georgia listening, will you please go search up Stone Mountain Action Coalition, because Kemp is up to some really dirty tricks. He's trying to build on the tax dollars back, he's going to build a 40-acre, you know, like 40-acre and a mule promised to the slave.
Right.
He's going to build a 40-acre Confederate playground inside Stone Mountain Park.
You're kidding.
No.
This is, he's just shouting out to the white supremacists. That's about as naked as it gets.
Yes, we're covered over here in white supremacists.
That's incredible. That is.
And QAnon is spreading, and especially through the black community. QAnon is really spreading like wildfire.
Are you African American, Susan, if you don't mind my asking?
No, I'm white. My husband is Hispanic.
Okay.
And
here's the question.
I live in an all black community.
Okay, so that was what I'm trying to find out is how, you know, what are the parts of the QAnon conspiracy theory that are being picked up by people in the African American community around you?
That they're going to be tracked by the government. I tell them, what about your cell phone? They're just oblivious. They don't get it. They're clueless.
That the vaccine is being used to track them?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The microchip
theory.
That is
a huge thing. Yes. And then they're going to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of trauma in the black community, you know, from the experimentations and all that stuff. So everybody's real leery, you know, and they feel like it's being pushed and forced on them. So, but there are a lot of the QAnon stuff going on.
Oh, that's so sad. That's so sad. This is poison. I mean, this is just, it's cultural,
it
social, mental, emotional, religious poison. Daniel in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hey, Daniel, your thoughts?
Above all, the Republicans are just all about money. So if you just follow the money in the whole thing, Fox got pulled in, tagged with misleading the public, and now they know that lawsuits are going to be happening. So then they say, oh, okay, now we will kind of do an about-face and start disseminating real information about getting vaccinated. That's what it's all about there.
Yeah.
Totally about.
So you think it's about legal liability and money.
the possibility that they can get hit with lawsuits.
Right. And then also a little side note, because I know you're having Dr. Wolf.
Actually, he's not going to be able to join us, Dr. Wolf. I'm going to talk about the topic, but he had a situation in New York that kept him out.
Okay. I was just curious on what he thinks in general that people should do. I know he can't give advice and stuff like that.
Well, he'll be back next week. But yeah, he doesn't do investment advice. But and you don't want to take investment advice to me because I've been wrong more often than I've been right. Daniel, I got to move along. But thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you. I appreciate it. Becky in North Berwick, Maine. Hey, Becky, your thoughts.
Hi. I think it's the donors. They were scared after the stock market drop. They're sick of paying higher wages to attract people. And if this variant gets even worse, they're going to feel that pressure as well in the big businesses.
Oh, that's interesting.
It seems like it's, I think it's too coordinated, really, to just be a few that woke up or Fox.
No, it's clear. There's something
like
clearly going on here. But what you're suggesting then, Becky, if I understand this correctly, is kind of the opposite of what I was saying. What I was saying was when the stock market dropped, that was what they wanted. And, you know, a few of them, like Pat Buchanan, were bragging about it. But in fact, it scared the hell out of the billionaires who actually own the Republican Party and are in the stock market. And they're saying, hey, guys, stop it.
Yeah, I don't think they like, you know, they can't get enough people to work as it is. More people are going to stay home. They don't like having to pay $15 an hour or more to attract workers or, you know, and then if everybody goes back into lockdown, they're just going to be screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, you know, crowdsourcing this is brilliant because Becky, you're brilliant. That was great. We are getting so many fascinating ideas. Diane in Hazelcrest, Illinois. Hey, Diane, thanks for watching us on YouTube. What's up?
I was listening to so many of your previous callers, and they sort of all just stole my thunder, particularly Steve, who answered my question about whether or not these Republicans that have been spewing out all these lies about the vaccines could be held legally liable for now admitting or now changing their tunes about the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that in a previous conversation I had with you, you told me that Fox News couldn't be held liable because they're a cable TV news station, but they can be sued civilly, can they not?
I believe so.
Okay, so that's one question that I had. And another question that and your caller from Georgia had mentioned these huge concerts that are happening in Georgia. Unfortunately, in the black community, I've noticed they are so addicted. I'm not, but they are so addicted to social media. A lot of them may or may not have access to cable TV where they can get accurate information, and they are exposed to misinformation by Facebook and these places. Yeah. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they are leaving themselves accessible to this type of information and willing to listen to any and everybody about not getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy in the black community, but it's just amazing to me how people are willing to just listen to garbage.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's
happening across all racial groups. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I realize that it is racially motivated as well in the white community. A lot of white supremacy is behind a lot of this. And unfortunately, this is not. I often wonder, are these people really that stupid, though, Tom, that if you're stupid enough to expose yourself to this virus just by listening to somebody like Paul Gosar or Marjorie Taylor Greene, because they tell you that you know you shouldn't get the vaccine, are you willing to just because they decide to change their tune, you're going to go, oh no, I can get the vaccine? No, I mean, I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, well, and that's going to be the $64,000 question is, you know, when Republicans start and it's looking. I mean, if you look at this is like a real trend line. And so I'm guessing sometime over the next week or two, there's going to be the dam is going to break. All kinds of Republicans are going to start coming out now that Steve Scalise, you know, and the guy in leadership and Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
And Chuck Grassley just, you know, tweeted, you know, this morning or last night, get vaccinated.
Something's going on. And, you know, whether it's that their strategy to crash the economy didn't work, or whether it's that they think it's going to backfire on them, or whether they're afraid of getting sued and ending up, you know, millions of dollars in debt, or whether it's that, and Dean is a lawyer who is going to be on at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to ask him about that. Apparently there's this the law or, you know, policy that assigns liability. Something's going on here, Diane. Something's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
It is a fascinating time to be alive. Remarkable. Marilyn, in France? You're calling from France?
Hi, Tom. Yes, I live in France.
So what's up, Marilyn?
Well, I'm just calling to tell you about the vaccine situation here, that we do have holdouts, but it's not political.
Okay.
There are people who have bought, you know, the anti-vaxxers are spreading the usual misinformation about the risks, you know, when it's clear that the benefits outweigh the risks for the vaccine.
Right.
But most people are really happy that Macron did what he did and that we're going to have this pass. I got one myself. And, you know, it will free me up to do a lot more things than I have been willing to do since the pandemic started.
I heard that some of the anti-vaxxers in France after Macron said, you know, you must have this pass to get into restaurants and things like that. And you know, sporting events and pretty much everything, actually, that the anti-vaxxers were wearing yellow stars like they, you know, were in Nazi death camps.
Yeah, some of them did do that, and that was thoroughly denounced.
Are these people who are getting their information off Facebook, or do you have an equivalent of Fox News over there in France?
Well,
or, I mean, where's this coming from?
We don't have an equivalent of Fox News, but among the usual news stations, there are ones that skew more to the right, but they don't spread misinformation.
So the other thing about France's, you know, political situation and the politics there is that you've got this woman, Marine Le Pen, who has been, her father, you know, used to lead the right in France.
Yeah,
and
we
now
know
she
about
does.
That, yeah.
Yeah. And here in the United States, up until the last week, the hard right politicians, the Marine Le Pens of the United States, have been basically anti-vaxxers, or at least vaccine reluctant to discuss it.
No, it has nothing to do with politics here.
Really?
It just,
so
yeah.
she's in favor of getting vaccinated, too.
The only people I know that are anti-vaxxers are people who live in kind of remote communities, and the people all around them are similar people, and they just sort of bought into the idea that we don't want to do what the government wants us to do kind of thing. And they're accepting of the idea that they can't go to places. They'll say, okay, we won't go.
That's remarkable. What part of France do you live in, Marilyn, if you don't mind my asking?
They had regional elections a couple weeks ago here, and Marine Le Pen did not make any gains, but neither did Macron.
That's interesting. So if you don't mind my asking, what part of France do you live in? And how does that...
I live in what used to be called Languedoc, but now it's Occitanie, and it's the south part, but southwest or sort
is it,
of...
Is it a rural area or an urban area? The reason I'm asking...
It's fairly rural. So, it's rural. I live near a village, but you can get to a good-sized city within 20 or 30 minutes.
Right, and with great train service. The reason I ask is because the other big divide that we're seeing in the United States now between, with regard to vaccines, there's the Republican-Democratic divide, but there's also the rural-urban divide. And, you know, in cities, people are far more enthusiastic about getting vaccinated than they are out in the sticks. Is that also happening in France?
It's true here, too, but even though I'm in a rural area, most people here are accepting the vaccines, but the people I know who are not live in even more remote areas than I do.
Interesting. Well, Marilyn, thank you.
I don't know about people in the cities. I do have a friend who lives in Paris, and he's kind of anti-vax. He says, oh, I got it. I got it in January, so I'm not worried. You know, he's just sort of not paying attention.
Yeah, I guess it's easier if you're already protected to pontificate. Marilyn, I have to move along, but thank you so much for the call. Thanks for catching the program, and thanks for the call from France.
No, thanks for your show. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anne in Johannesburg, Michigan. Hey, Anne, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Something has been running through my mind.
is when Mitch McConnell kept holding out on signing the last COVID bill, because he wanted protections, you know, liability protections for corporations.
Oh, that's right. I had
forgotten. Remember that part?
I do. I remember it now. I had completely forgotten that. Yes, he. Yeah.
I have a feeling that.
And he never got those.
Connected somehow.
Yeah, he never got those protections, to the best of my recollection.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
So now, all of a sudden, he's changed his, you know, tune on getting vaccines. I'm not quite sure if it's connected or not. It's just something that I had thought about.
Well, that ties in, Ann, with the theory that an earlier caller laid out, which had not occurred to me, you know, which is why I'm so grateful to all of you, everybody who's been participating in this conversation. We're crowdsourcing this, that some of the large, including the insurance companies, some of the big donors to the Republicans are being hurt financially, you know, their own personal fortunes, if the stock market crashes or the corporation, they're being hurt by COVID getting worse. And so they're telling the Republicans, hey, stop, you know, we need this country to at least function so that we can make money.
I think a lot of it also had to do, like, with meatpacking companies and different employees were getting sick.
Yeah.
And they were going to sue.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.